God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Darkness covered the face of the deep, the Bible says in Genesis 1, 1 and 2. But God dispelled the darkness with his own light. And my friends, it's exactly what happens to you spiritually. You're in darkness because Satan has blinded your mind. And some of his neat little tools are the teachings of evolution, whether you know it or not. It's a tool of Satan to blind our minds. And a lot of people, when they hear that, they think, uh-oh, here's the rantings and ravings of another wacko fundamentalist. Let me just tell you something. I love being called a wacko fundamentalist, but we don't check our brains off at the door.
This is Hope for Today. It's a blessing to have you with us for today's program. Before nations, before oceans, before sky above and ground beneath, there was God. Eternal, unchanging, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, present everywhere. In the opening chapters of Genesis, we are not merely learning how the world began. We are beholding the majesty of God who is there before all things. Imagine this. Imagine the days of creation. Light breaks forth. Waters divide. The heavens are stretched out. And creation declares God's power, God's wisdom, his beauty, and his presence. Wow. Today, David Hawking continues his series, In the Beginning, from the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Stay with us for an eye-opening lesson today from the mighty, matchless Word of God. Before our lesson time, we want to point you to a free resource on the Hope for Today homepage. This is called Your Quest for God, and Your Quest for God is written by our good friend Richard A. Bennett. You know, all over the world, people are quietly hungry for something more than, well, religion. They want to know God, not as a theory, not as a distant idea, but in a real, personal, life-changing way. And many of them have questions. Who is God? Can he be known? Has he spoken, and how can a person truly come to know him? Well, Richard A. Bennett wrote Your Quest for God with the confidence that God himself has given the reliable answers in his word. And you can download Your Quest for God free right now at davidhawking.org. Nothing to sign up for. Click on the link, download it. You got it. You can share it with as many folks as you like. Again, that's Your Quest for God on the homepage of davidhawking.org. But turn now to Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 31. And here's David to continue our series In the Beginning with a current focus on the days of creation.
The story of creation in the Bible is the simplest presentation of how the origin of all things happened that exists in the world. We need conviction. We don't follow it because somebody said it. It's because of what the Bible says, and we all of a sudden get that in our hearts, and so we take a stand because that's what God says. You say, well, I don't quite understand it. Let me tell you something. Having debated many years with them, neither do the evolutionists. I don't care how brilliant they are, how much they have studied science, whether paleontology or zoology or biology or whatever they've studied. They don't understand it. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God either. They're spiritually discerned. And right away, on day one, God did it the way he did it to illustrate to us what happens to us when we're born again. I think that's absolutely fabulous. Creation, all that God said there, has tremendous impact for things that are taught later in the Bible. When God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he told us what it was to have that light of the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ that we see in the Word. When the light gets into your heart, all of a sudden the darkness is dispelled and you're no longer blinded by the enemy, but God breaks the shackles of his blinders and now you see as you've never seen before. That's what it means to be born again. A lot of religious folks are filled with religious ideas and traditions and practices, but they've never been born again. That's why they wander around in religious darkness because they've never been born again. The light hasn't come on. And they are like the evolutionists who are trying to argue God maybe started the process or whatever. They think of the speed of light, and they think that way as a Christian. Let me tell you something. Just like God said, let there be light, and there was light, when you're born again, we don't need a process. When the lights come on, it's conversion caused by the Holy Spirit of God in a moment of time. You are born again of the Spirit of God, and the light is on. And we don't walk in darkness anymore. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And immediately we have fellowship one with another, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Turn to Job chapter 38. Look at verses 18 to 21. It's amazing what God says. We do know that Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night knowledge. Well, the whole thing is telling us a tremendous message. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at Job 38, verse 18. The questions come. Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? Put that in your science tube and test it for a while. And as for darkness, where is its place? Have you figured that one out yet? That thou shouldst take it to its, well, we would probably say domain or boundaries, to its bound, and that thou shouldst know the paths to its house. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Do you know all this because you were there when it happened? Isn't it interesting to hear men try to explain what happened? They weren't there. You know, whenever anybody tries to explain to you, even a decade, that they didn't live in, it's like, what do you think you're doing? If you were there, you know a lot more about it. And here's somebody trying to act like they know what it's about. They weren't even there. Well, none of us were there when God created the worlds. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And everybody's saying, well, what happened here was, and hey, you weren't there. If you're so smart, then just tell me, where does light dwell? Where's darkness hanging out? If you think this is troublesome, let's go to day two. You see, we're talking about how the days of creation describe the wonder of God's nature and presence. Well, day one really does it in the creation of light. Let's go to day two in the creation of heaven. We also see the wonder of God's nature and presence. Day two, beginning at verse 6. Let there be a firmament or an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. This is absolutely one of the most interesting passages, and it's filled with controversy. One of them would be immediately obvious to you. Are you trying to say that there are waters above heaven, and there are also waters on the earth? Is that what it's saying? And is heaven referring to the atmosphere? You talking clouds here or what? Oh, heaven. Well, yeah, we're talking celestial heavens. We're talking galaxies. You're telling me there's waters out there? Because it does say that. Is everybody following this? So people often, they look at this from a secular point of view, and they say, this is absolutely ridiculous. Well, this is not a small subject in the Bible. First of all, the word heaven in the singular appears 582 times. In the plural, another 133 times. We've got over 700 times talking about heaven. Now, the word firmament is a Hebrew word, rachia, from a root racha, which is dealing with expanse, but its root form, I think, is interesting. It means to pound or to beat out, and thus to expand a metal or stretch it. You pound and beat it out. It's used about 17 times in the Hebrew Old Testament. Interestingly, 9 times are right here in Genesis 1. Where God is literally, I know this sounds incredible, but if you're God, no problem. You are literally pounding and beating this thing and stretching it out. This thing you call heaven, you're stretching it out. And I might add, he's really stretched it out. I mean, what we have observed through our telescopes alone. Well, let's just take a quick trip and see if we can understand this a little bit. Go to Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Now watch this. Who has set thy glory above the what? Heavens, and it's plural. Now the Bible speaks of a third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. Calls it paradise, where God is dwelling. Well, if there are three heavens, I know Shirley MacLaine came up with seven, but there are three in the Bible. The third heaven's where God dwells. The second heaven is what we call the celestial heavens or outer space. The first heaven is the heaven of atmospheric air around the earth, birds, clouds, so forth. Now, according to the Bible, God has set his glory above the heavens. That's what it says. In verse 3, it says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy what? Finger. This is just finger play with God. Let's have a galaxy. Finger play. Let's put a billion stars over there. Queen. That's all it says, finger play. Turn to chapter 19, verse 1, and it says, the heavens, again, plural, declare the what? Glory of God. So what are we talking about? How the days of creation describe the wonder of God's nature and presence. You see that in the creation of light on the first day and in the creation of heaven on the second day. I'm not making it up. The Bible says they declare the glory of God. They declare the nature of God, these heavens. Turn to Psalm 104. Verse 2. Let's read verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. You know that song, O Lord my God, how then sings my soul, how, my Savior, how great thou art. Amen? That's a great song. Well, this is the verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Now look at this. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. Let's just stretch that baby out there. That's what the firmament means, to stretch out the expanse. Chapter 148, look at verse 4. Lest you think that we were kidding you about waters up there in the sky somewhere, look at this, Psalm 148, 4. Verse 3 says, praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, plural, both times. And ye waters that are what? Above the heavens. Now, in the third heaven, we have a city being built that's going to come out of there and come to the earth. It's going to travel through outer space, come to the earth. And that's in Revelation 21, 22. In that city, there is a river. So if I want to be real technical, that's all I really need to explain it. There is definitely water above the heavens in a river that's in the heavenly city. So there's water up there. For me to deny that there's water there is to deny what the Bible says, even about a heavenly city that's got water in it that's coming down to the earth. So there are waters above the heavens. I think it's more than that, but that's just one example. Let's keep going. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his what? Power. This stretching out, this firmament, this expanse is a demonstration of how powerful God is. The days of creation definitely describe the wonder of God's nature and presence. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 10 and look at verse 14. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Now, there's a clear statement. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8 now, verse 27. Hang in there. We got a lot of scripture. Maybe just jot it down and you can look at that later. But 1 Kings 8:27, having read what you just did in Deuteronomy 10:14, that the heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Now look at what he says in 1 Kings 8:27, the time of the dedication of the temple under Solomon. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? They're making a building for him to dwell in. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. God is so enormous, his greatness is unsearchable, the Bible says, that all that he created, all of the heavens, does not contain him. They're all contained in his presence. You say, how big is God? Well, he's bigger than anything you've ever seen, or any scientist has ever seen, or any telescope has ever seen. God is bigger than it all. People say, well, at the speed of light, it's 20, 24 billion. Well, my God's, he can cover that. No problem. God's bigger than the heavens. You know, when I think about this, I wind up with a headache. I mean, just trying to fathom what the Bible teaches is incredible. That all the galaxies, all the heaven of heavens, everything there is all a part and is included inside of God's omnipresence. God is not inside of it. They can't contain him. They are inside of him and his presence. So no matter where you would go, if I ascend up to heaven, the psalmist said, Psalm 139, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, thou art there. There's not one place you can flee the presence of God. Why? Because everything that exists, all creation, is inside of him and his presence. Aren't you glad he became a man? You talk about being lost and trying to comprehend all of this. God is so big, my friends, that I think that our descriptions of him are so inadequate and insufficient when you read the clear statements of the Bible. Tremendous in size. When I heard a television evangelist speaking about God, saying that he was 6'2 and weighed 200 pounds, I thought, buddy, you have not read the Bible very much. He's a lot bigger than that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 26, just a clear-cut statement, all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the, what? Heavens, plural. The Lord made them all. The Bible's clear on this. Nehemiah 9:6, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, look at the description, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts. The hosts referring to all the stars and planets. All of them. Whatever galaxies there are, he made them all, the earth, all things that are in it, the seas, all that's in them. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worship thee. How interesting. You see, the days of creation describe the wonder of God's nature and presence. And when you see pagan cultures worshiping the sun, moon, and stars, what an abomination that is. Because all of those were designed by God to cause us to worship him. This whole thing is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Go to Isaiah chapter 42, just a little bit more on this point. Chapter 42 of Isaiah, and look at verse 5. And here in Isaiah, we get the idea of the firmament, the stretching out of the solar system, the stretching out of outer space, the celestial heavens, so God can put all the billions of stars in there. And it'll all be a testimony to his character. And by the way, he calls them all by name, and he's got them all numbered, every last one of them. No problem to God. He instantaneously knows everything. He doesn't have to say, well, let me see if I can remember in that third galaxy what the name of that star was. No problem. Everything is immediately known to God. Everything. That's why it's so foolish when you think you're trying to hide from him. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. The God who made us knows absolutely everything. He even cares about a little sparrow, the bottom bird on the ornithology list. He cares about a sparrow that falls out of the tree today. The Bible says he knows about that. All the hairs of your head are numbered. And I like to say he can subtract too when necessary. Chapter 42 of Isaiah, look at verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he who created the heavens, plural, and look at the next words, and stretched them out. He who spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He who giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk on it. What an interesting statement. Look at chapter 45, verse 12. Chapter 45, verse 12. He said, I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, no one else helped, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. He told them where to go. He told them what orbiting process they'd be involved with. He told them what galaxy to be in. He did it all. He just said the word and it all happened. But he stretched out the heaven to place all the stars in. He's not going to put them in there until the fourth day. This is only the second day, and he's stretching out this gigantic thing we call heaven, outer space. God's doing it with his own power.
That's Bible teacher David Hawking declaring the glory of God. The glory of God. Wow. And this is hope for today. David will be back to share a closing word with us in just a moment or two. First, Matt and I want to share a special home Bible study resource with you. And Matt, I really love this resource. Let's talk about it.
Why did God choose to destroy the first civilization, except Noah and his family, in this global catastrophe of the Genesis flood? The Bible is clear that this was his purpose, but why?
Find the answer inside David Hawking's engaging study of Genesis 1 through 11, titled The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood.
Yeah, was there a history of earth that preceded the creation week? And why can we have confidence in the biblical teaching of divine authorship in creation versus the popular notions of evolution?
Again, answers inside The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, by David Hawking.
How about lessons from creation that will build our faith and encourage our walk with the Lord today?
Yeah, you'll find them with supporting scriptures inside this book. Matt, our culture is incredibly, incredibly confused regarding values, ethics, right, and the meaning and purpose of life.
And one reason is our failure to understand the origin of human life.
And David tackles this concern inside The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood.
There's so much inside this 156-page work by my dad. The chapters cover the creation week.
Yeah, 6 days and a day of rest.
Right, the Garden of Eden and the fall of mankind.
And that's an outstanding study that gives understanding to the temptations we face today.
Sex, marriage, and human relationships, human depravity, and divine judgment.
And Matt, that really casts a light of understanding and comparison with our times today.
And more.
Matt, we cannot overstate the importance of Genesis 1 through 11.
And our featured book for May, The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, takes you on a dramatic journey through it.
And the cost is $15. And friend, your purchase or a donation will help the Ministry of Hope for Today.
And please pray for hope for today.
Well, we also want to let you know that for a limited time, you can order our current radio series, what we're calling In the Beginning. Now, this series has 24 messages. It'll take us 2 or 3 months to complete this series, but you can get your own copy right now for just $25. Now, it's a complete In the Beginning series on MP3 CD or MP3 download, just $25. This is Genesis, creation, the flood, the opening thunder of God's word, the fall of mankind, the promise of a savior to come, the flood, the beginnings of early civilization. And right now you can get the entire series for just $25. To order the book Matt and I just shared about, called The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood, that's $15. Or your own copy of the current radio series In the Beginning, that's $25. Call us at 800-75-BIBLE. And in Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE. And Bible by the numbers, 24253. Or visit us online at davidhawking.org. And once again, here's David.
Well, how would you like to partner with us? That is Hope for Today. Our mission of reaching the world through the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. Well, it's really easy to do. First, let's start with prayer. Pray that the hearts of lost people who hear our broadcast in your hometown or your country or around the world, that they will be open and receptive to the gospel and respond to it. Secondly, pray that God would work mightily to meet the financial needs of sending out his gospel through radio and internet television so that no one misses out on the gospel message. And thirdly, why not pray about what financial support you might be able to send our way, either on a one-time basis or month to month? God uses listeners like you to continue and further the mission and vision of Hope for Today. We want everyone to know who Jesus really is, not according to human opinion. but according to the inspired and infallible Word of God. We can do that through your support.
And like David said, if today's message has stirred your heart, give your life to Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Don't play games with eternity. Call upon Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, today. Wow. And please do pray for the Ministry of Hope for Today, that God would continue to use Hope for Today to send out His Word with clarity, courage, and truth. And if you'd like to help us in this ministry, to join with us in ministry, first of all, pray for us. And if God enables you and directs you to do so, stand with us financially. You can write to Hope for Today and make a donation in the U.S., Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today at Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, B.C., V2S8P1. Or you can call us in the U.S. at 875-BIBLE, in Canada, 888-75-BIBLE, and catch us online at davidhawking.org. Tomorrow, David continues our look at the days of creation and the wonder of the God who spoke all things into being. Wow. Well, make sure to invite a friend or a loved one to listen along with you, and we'll see you then right here on Hope for Today.